or not, but you got Damian, Jason, and Katie. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here with us on this Wednesday edition of The Drive as we wrap up 2016. I'm Damian Barling, joined by my co-host from The Lowdown, Jason Ross, and live from Portland, Katie Christensen. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. How are you, fellas?
You know, it's never okay. It's never okay to text the letter K back to somebody.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that the O was missing. There's a lot of stuff that goes on when you're doing a show from a hotel room in a bathrobe. So just sometimes you have to do a quick response so that you're not being rude, but so you can get the rest of your life figured out.
Well, I'm in a bathrobe, too.
Yeah, what do you mean? Why do you act like you're the only one in a bathrobe? I thought it was bathrobe. Thought it was bathrobe day on The Drive.
Like, of course.
Was that a joke by Nate Goodyear to tell us to wear bathrobes on Wednesdays? I thought he was serious.
So is it the hotel bathrobe, or do you travel a bathrobe?
That is a very good question, Jason. I'm glad that you ask. I do not travel a bathrobe. We stay in some very nice hotels, and they supply really nice bathrobes. So
do you go home with a new bathrobe after every trip?
No, just washcloths and towels and stuff.
They're so soft and fluffy.
Yeah, you know, they are. There's some good ones. So I'm not complaining. But yes, that is a great thing about doing the show from the road is that, you know, you get to kind of be in your pajamas, but there are some bad things that come along with it. So like dealing with like your internet crashing and things like that. So that is why it was a quick response while I was trying to get my Firefox all back together.
Excuse me.
You heard me.
I don't want to hear about your Firefox or whatever you got going on in your Portland hotel room. I wonder if Jerry Reynolds is in a bathrobe.
Oh, you know it. In a pipe.
You know, yeah.
Jerry's up on the balcony in Portland with his leg, just looking out at darkness.
Yes.
Look, Jason, it's dark outside.
It still is dark. It's always dark.
Something you guys need to know about Mr. Reynolds is that he needs his coffee like first thing in the morning. Like he needs it like the moment he rolls out of bed so that he can function. So I know this because he's always complaining about the hotels that do not have coffee in the room, because he apparently needs caffeine so badly when he wakes up that he can't even function enough to get dressed and like go downstairs to the coffee shop or to the cafe downstairs to get coffee to start putting it into his system. He needs it like bedside table so he can push the button and function. So we'll see what happens when he comes on with us this morning at about 7:40 to talk Kings, how much coffee he's had yet. We'll see what kind of a guest he's going to be today.
I think in some circles that's called an addiction.
Some circles.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah. But
not sure.
Owning it is the first step, I hear. Yeah.
I'm not sure of Greg Papa's caffeine habits or if he does his show in his bathrobe, but he's going to join us as well at 8 o'clock. Katie's obviously in Portland for the Kings and the Trailblazers tonight. We'll talk a lot about that throughout the course of the morning. Four Down Territory, of course, coming up as always in the 7 o'clock hour. Got your morning brew coming up here in just about 10 minutes. Hall of Fame stuff, lots of NBA stuff. It was pretty testy last night with the Rockets and Mavericks. Technical fouls doled out everywhere.
Really?
Security, oh, yeah. They were.
Security?
After the game was over, apparently Trevor Ariza was really upset about some things that were said. There was some bickering back and forth with Coach Carlisle. James Harden, you'll hear from him later on this hour. Just overall, it was testy, and they were not happy, and I'm sure the Mavericks weren't happy about getting lit up by the Rockets again.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, another level of trash talking where, you know, there's going to be talking in every game, but then it started to look like it got personal.
Got a little personal.
Yeah, and you're going a little too far potentially.
Did someone say something about someone's mama?
There's a good chance of that, or bathrobe.
Well, yeah, because what was it? Kevin Durant, not Kevin Durant, it was Kevin Garnett that's had the reputation for bringing people's moms and like wives into things, right?
Yeah, well, oh, yes, and potential health issues. He's been known to bring that up a time or two. And no one talks about, you can't talk about Kevin Durant's mom.
No.
Don't talk about mama.
That's the real MVP. You don't do that. You don't do that. But, yeah, KG's a notorious trash talker.
Yeah.
But I don't know what got these guys going last night. But The Rockets were really upset leaving the arena. We'll dig into that later on this hour. There were actually no real good basketball on last night, but there were good performances across the board. Obviously, James Harden, great again. I mean, what are we, 30-some-odd games in? Is it a two-man race for the MVP right now?
Yeah, I think so, just because they're putting up really gaudy numbers. But we'll see what those two are able to do, because it's crazy in the NBA, like any sport, Jason, winning has so much to do with the credit you get when it comes to MVP voting.
Yeah, both those guys are winning. Harden's winning more. Westbrook's putting up the historically crazy numbers. But a long way to go in this. But I would say as of today, those two are probably the leaders. But, you know, there's still some work to be done to decide that.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but they need to win big. Playoff finals big, I think.
Kevin Durant.
I don't know that's going
to
happen.
But not to win the MVP, they don't.
Yeah.
Because the voting is done by then. So I think.
Yeah, but Damian, you know that even though the voting's done by then, people have their predictions on who's going to be there, and that affects that.
Yeah, that's fair, and that's totally true. But if Russell Westbrook, if they're an 8 seed, the worst case scenario, he's averaging a triple-double. How is he not the most valuable? A year after Durant leaves, how is he not the MVP of the NBA?
Well, I think the tricky part would be, let's say Harden leads the league in assists, is like fourth in scoring, and they're the 2 seed. I mean, they went from 8 to 2.
Well, here's the other thing. The two best players in the league right now are LeBron James. By the way, he always will be until he just can't be anymore. And Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's not only the second best player in the league, maybe the first best player in the league. He's the best player on the Warriors.
Yeah.
And he walked into that situation in which people were like, well, what are they going to do? How are they going to adjust? They're okay.
Yeah.
They can't figure out the Cavs yet. But they're okay. And he's pretty damn good. But I think there's going to be Warrior fatigue. There's already LeBron fatigue. I mean, you could just give LeBron the trophy at the beginning of the year every year and know that he'll live up to it. So you're going to – I mean, if Harden gets it right now today, if Harden got it over Westbrook, I think it would be people felt bad about leaving Harden off of everything last year and saying, you're just not a top-tier player in the league.
But he wasn't last year. The drop off between last year and the season before, when he was truly contending for the MVP race with Steph Curry, it was so drastic that you couldn't put him in that conversation.
I guess, but he wasn't even on NBA 13. Like, he was literally on nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with no one could understand why the team was so bad last year. I mean, they barely made it into the playoffs. And that's a great thing for a lot of teams. The Kings would take that any day.
Sure.
But they were they were in the Western Conference Finals the year before.
Yeah.
Like, that's a joke.
And that,
you know, I think that's why.
Yeah. Right. I think you're right there too. That could have something to do with it. The steep decline that they took from 1 year to the next in the Dwight Howard, James Harden experiment. Again, a lot more NBA coming up in this 6 o'clock hour. Have you guys watched any bowl games yet, by the way? Anybody?
No.
And I love college football. And it's been on. I've passed through it, but I haven't spent any amount of time. The big games are coming this weekend.
But wait a minute. So no one's watching bowl because everyone was mad that the kids were, we're not going to play. We're going to get rid. Everyone was mad because of the prestigious bowl games.
Yeah, we're protecting the integrity of these games that everybody's watching.
But here we are.
That's not why I was upset about it.
Oh, okay, Katie. Why were you upset?
Oh, Damian, you should understand this. When you're a part of a team, you play together, you win together, you lose together. And just because it doesn't suit you, and I understand the logic and the reasoning behind health and your future career, but what does that say? Okay, well, I'm done with you guys. You know, you've been there. We've fought together the whole way. But now it doesn't really suit me. So, you know, good luck on your own. I'm just going to ride off into the sunset and collect my paycheck. What about winning and losing together as a team?
Good luck in the Match.com Bowl. Like, no.
Yeah. Well, no, I know. And that's another thing. The bowl games are ridiculous. Like, they don't mean anything. And that's not anybody's fault except for college football. Until they fix that, that's the issue. But it doesn't mean you're invited to a bowl game. You're playing in it. Your team's playing a game. Shouldn't you play?
But you're wrong, Katie. It does mean something.
But you're wrong.
No. You're wrong. The bowl games mean something, but they only mean something to the university. The university gets money.
For
the NCAA gets money. And these kids are saying, hey, we need you to kind of bet on your future one more time to make us a couple of more bucks in
the
Belk Bowl.
I get it, which is this whole conversation is a much bigger one, and it goes to whether or not the NCAA is ever going to pull their heads out of their butts and start paying their athletes that are making them millions of dollars.
I vote no.
Then you got it.
I don't believe the NCAA will ever pull their.
Oh, I don't think they're going to, yeah. But they definitely need to. That orifice. You can say it, Damien. You can say but.
Come on, the word orifice has never been used on the drive before. Come on.
It probably has. Just not in a very polite way.
Sadly, it probably has.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
As we mentioned, Blaine, we're going to dig into a lot of NBA this 6 o'clock hour. We'll talk Kings, Blazers all throughout the morning, 4 down territory in the 7 o'clock hour. Jerry Reynolds at 7:30, voice of the Raiders, Greg Papa at 8 o'clock. We got your morning brew coming up next. It's Katie live from Portland. It's Damon and Jason in for Dave and Nate here on The Drive. It's actually Damian, Jason, and Katie in for Dave and Nate here as the morning brew gets started. I came across the story of Serena Williams in the Washington Post talking about how if she was a man, she'd already be in the conversation as the greatest tennis player in history. And I'm curious your thoughts on that because I already kind of look at her as the greatest tennis player in history, male or female. Am I alone there?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah, but it's kind of weird. I don't understand. And maybe this is going to sound a little bizarre, being that I have, you know, the same bits and pieces as Miss Serena Williams. I don't understand this incessant need to compare men and women as athletes because they are different athletes. Tennis is probably one of the only sports that you can get away with this, track and field, maybe to a certain degree, but that's all timed stuff. But it's an individual sport, golf as well. You can compare men and women and you see that there are differences just in terms of what we're able to do physically. And she is a physical specimen, Jason. I mean, she's an amazing, amazing athlete, but I don't know that she's still on the same level as men, but that doesn't make her not the best tennis player in the world. Do you get my drift?
Yeah, and I think what's weird, of all the sports where men and women compete, I feel like tennis is the one that may get equal attention, if not more at times, mm-hmm. than men, and I think she's clearly recognized. I don't know any circles where people aren't considering her one of the best tennis players to ever walk the earth. So I don't know exactly where she's coming from.
A little bit of paranoia?
Maybe.
Well, it could be that, but I also think when you hear Serena talked about, and I think you always hear this when you hear women athletes discussed as being great, you hear in the context of, well, Serena Williams is the greatest women's tennis player we've ever seen. Oh, okay, well, she might be the greatest tennis player. I mean, some of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen have been women. Your old teammate, Diana Taurasi, is one of the greatest closers I've ever seen, and I'd put her up there next to Kobe Bryant. I don't need to preface that by saying, oh, well, she's one of the greatest, you know, women closers I've ever seen. No, she's an assassin, no matter who she's out there with.
Damian, you're woke, though. You don't need qualifiers. You know what I'm saying? You don't. You don't need qualifiers because you're a sports fan, period. You don't have an issue of being a fan of women's sports as well as men's sports. It's those people that kind of have a little bit of an issue or just haven't wrapped their head around it yet that need those qualifiers in there.
I am woke.
You are woke.
Jay Reynolds and I had our coffee together this morning.
That's Kevin Durant racking up nice little future calls in his pocket, talking about the last two-minute report. Of course, we're still talking about this from Christmas Day when the Warriors lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road. And, you know, you guys, I kind of agree with him here. I think the last two-minute report where there's times where it's like you just want to hear them say that they got it wrong, but it doesn't make sense to continue to do this when it's kind of like the game doesn't come down to a missed free throw at the end. It doesn't come down to a missed call at the end. We all know that. It's about four quarters, but yet the NBA does kind of throw their officials under the bus with that last two-minute report.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a thankless – it is a thankless position, the referees. Yeah. What's interesting, though, is Durant saying, you know, why are we going to do that to the refs? Well, tonight if the Kings lose and Rudy Gay makes a critical error, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. If coach makes a decision where we go, I wonder if he should have subbed this player or called the timeout, we do that on everyone else basically involved in the game. The refs are involved. I know we'll critique the calls. I don't know if anybody ultimately feels better if they said, yeah, we got it wrong, but I get why the league tries to do it, but you can also open yourself up to a bunch of scrutiny like this.
Yeah, I don't particularly care for it. I always hate the day after on Monday mornings when the NFL comes out and said, you know, there should have been a flag there. Yeah. Or, you know what, Cam Newton should have gotten that roughing the passer call. It's like, well, what does that do? Like, you start playing the, you know, in football, you start adding yards and go, well, that would have given them a first down. Could they have sustained the drive? Would that have won them a game? Would that have turned things around? Or, you know, oh, well, we're going to fine them, but, you know, or what is it? Oh, when they rescind the technical foul, it's like, okay, well, they don't have to pay the fine, but they already lost the point, and the complexion of the game changed. So why do we – I get you go out there and say, okay, sorry, we got it wrong, but I don't know. I feel like the last two-minute report it's a little excessive. But that's just my opinion.
There it goes again. Russell Westbrook, another triple-double, 30th of the calendar year, 15th this season. To me, Damian, it's like, tell me when he doesn't have one. I mean, I expect him to get one every night now.
I'm rooting for him to get one every night. Like, you know.
And he's still angry.
He should be.
Did I catch his nickname in that call? Is his nickname the Force?
The Force.
I don't think I knew that.
I don't think I did either.
Just called
him
Russ.
It's a new thing.
I like it.
It's Wussel Westbrook.
It is Wussel Westbrook.
It is Wussel Westbrook. So, you know, we're so obsessed with stats and sports, and obviously there's no stat that could, you know, kind of prove more that Russell Westbrook is everything that this team has. I mean, he straight picks them up and carries them around game in and game out. They're 12-3 when he gets a triple-double. What does that tell you? I mean, they expect him to do so much, you guys. And I understand, Jason, why he's getting angry. I'm kind of concerned for what it's going to be like when we get to April. And he's been doing this all season. He's going to put up historic numbers. But is he going to have anything left in the tank when they get into the postseason?
Which is interesting because I'm going to guess he will not rest this year.
Oh, right.
No. Oh, no. That's not going to happen.
But everybody else needs their rest, huh?
Well, guys are different. They're cut different. I mean, when you're LeBron, I don't have I know we're on opposite ends of the spectrum with this. Like, I have no problem with guys like LeBron and those guys who are going to be playing deep into June and knowing they're probably for sure playing deep into June, resting. Westbrook can't rest if they want to play deep into June.
Exactly.
Like, the scenarios of DeMarcus Cousins resting that night a couple of weeks ago and LeBron and Steph, they're very different. They're not even remotely close to the same. All rest isn't equal is what I'm getting at here. And you talked about, Katie, you're worried about if Westbrook will have anything left in the tank in April. I'm just hoping his body holds up till April because he's so physical, he's so violent. And I know the you know, I had a conversation on game night before the Oklahoma City game with Bobby Jackson about this, and I heard it repeated by coaches a number of times. I think Dave Yeager said the same thing. The simplest comparison is Russell Westbrook in pre-surgery Derrick Rose.
And oh, yeah.
We know how Derrick Rose's MVP season ended, and I don't want to see Westbrook's season in that same way.
Well, he's battled injuries quite a bit through his career, and the crazy thing is he always bounces back so quickly, but he's not had yet one of those kind of serious ones, like a knee injury or something like that. They've been things that have kept him out a little bit, but nothing as egregious as what, you know, Derrick Rose went through. And we all know he's a completely different player.
Yeah, he's not the same guy. He's not even remotely close to the same guy. That's Katie Christensen. She's in Portland. Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling. We thank you for being with us. Dave and Nate are off. We'll talk Kings and Blazers throughout the morning. As we mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Jerry Reynolds is going to join us at 7:40. Greg Papa at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Derek Carr had a successful surgery. Stunner there. You usually don't hear about that. If you didn't see Inside the NFL last night, he was mic'd for that game. And we have the clip for you. We want you to hear it. We'll talk more about the NBA. And an interesting scenario developing in the Baseball Hall of Fame. The tides may be turning there. We'll talk about that next here on The Drive. Always fun when a broadcaster takes that Russell Westbrook pause.
It's natural.
Because you know it's going through their mind. The Russell Westbrook is going through their mind. And if you say it too fast, it's going to trip you up.
Yep.
Every single time. It's going to trip you up. Proven fact. It's 6:34. Time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. Jacuzzi of Sacramento.com. This is The Drive. We thank you for being with us. Obviously, Dave and Nate are off today. Damien and Jason are here. Katie Christensen is coming to us live from a bathrobe in a undisclosed hotel in Portland.
This is true.
Is your coffee made?
Yeah. So the great thing about where the floor that I'm on the same floor as the lobby of this hotel. It's kind of weird how this hotel works. Like the lobby is like on the eighth floor, and right outside my room, about 15, 20 feet is a complimentary like coffee setup. So I get to run out at the breaks and fill up on caffeine.
Very nice. Good. Hopefully Jerry Reynolds isn't too far away.
I do take my bathrobe off to go out
really?
To the lobby. Yeah, I take it off and I put on the sweater and then I come back in and put on the bathrobe. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm just going to let everybody take that and regroup.
Yeah, but I'm totally in my pajama pants, so it's a really good look for me, you guys.
Nice.
Really good look. Yeah.
Pajama pants are an acceptable form of fashion in today's world. I've seen people at the gym in pajama pants.
Yeah.
Is
it acceptable?
Yeah. It is not acceptable.
I was going to say, it's done. I don't know whether it's acceptable.
But I don't know
it's
if that's old man get off my lawn syndrome.
I don't feel like it is, but.
Man, get
it
dressed
kind of
in
is.
The morning, man. What are you doing? Like, put some clothes on.
It kind of is old man, you know, get off my lawn syndrome, but it's not wrong.
Top story of the day. Top story of the day is we'll get into the Kings and Blazers just a little bit. I was listening to Matt do that update a couple of seconds ago, and it brought to my mind, did DeMarcus Cousins get that 55 the day after he rested? Remember that game? It wasn't the game after? Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because that could have blown up my whole rest argument right there. Top story of the day. Jeannie and Phil broke up.
Is this true?
Confirmed. Verified Twitter sources.
Okay.
Verified Twitter accounts. Jeannie Buss and Phil Jackson have split after 1990, 17 years together.
It's 17?
1999. That's 17, right?
Okay,
my math
and
is
so
bad.
They
almost
ended,
18.
They ended their engagement after 17. How long ago did they get engaged?
They've been engaged. They've only been engaged 5 years.
Only
been engaged 5 years.
Oh my gosh!
But they've been together.
I 17. Feel a little bit better. I feel a little bit better about my personal life now. I'm not gonna lie.
17 years. You know what? You know, babe, this is not working.
Yeah, what was
long distance? It really gets all of us, you know?
I think Jeannie just went to Phil and said, dude, the Knicks suck and I can't deal with you anymore. We're splits. We're done.
Yeah.
Okay, that was obviously.
That's too bad.
That's not the top story. At least not for all.
Yeah.
Well, for them, it is.
For them, definitely the top story for them. I was going through the USA Today yesterday as we were preparing, and when I say going through the USA Today, I mean the USA Today website, as I don't actually
hold the paper.
I don't hold a newspaper in my hand.
I thought you were taking a cross-country trip.
Oh, so. No, most definitely not. I came across an article from Christine Brennan, and she's very pissed off about this. The Baseball Writers Association of America, they're starting to collect their Hall of Fame votes for next year. They're due on New Year's Eve. And 122 of the 435 ballots have come in. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are really, really close to the 75% marker they need to get in the Hall of Fame. They're both clocking in at 71%.
With about a quarter of the vote,
Yeah, they're clocking in at 71% right now. What should be noted before we get into this discussion is the Baseball Writers of America, Baseball Writers Association of America, got rid of some of their older writers last year. So some of the voters now are much younger. And
it was a voters purge. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what it was. And now you may see a change in the way the Baseball Hall of Fame is approached. You're a big baseball guy, Jason. Are you okay with that?
I'm more than okay with it. Are they going to win the Electoral College, though? That's the key.
That is the key.
Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think it's something that I'm glad that there's some turnover in voters. I think that's certainly important, just to get some different eyes and ideas on it. And What my biggest issue with it is the blanket statement that some people have, where if you were ever linked to anything with steroids, they're not going to vote for you. Like, you have no chance.
Right.
And I just thought, well, linked is something that, what do we know? What, how much
Poppy's
proof?
Poppy's linked.
Right. I mean, so there's some people that you go, okay, well, we've got more confirmation on some than on others. And I just think that's too broad of a blanket statement. Now, I know we've talked about this before, Damian, on our show, that I can't unsee what I saw with Barry Bonds. I think he's the best baseball player I've ever seen. So I personally would put him in, knowing that at that time, Bud Selig was more than, without endorsing it, turning a blind eye, let's say, to steroids. So,
oh, by the way, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Yes,
managers
exactly.
that put these guys in the lineups are in the Hall of Fame. Teammates that, oh, just because they got through, well, we don't know that they took steroids. Or there were different things that were done in the 80s and 70s of versions of performance-enhancing drugs. So I think it's, again, Bonds, Clemens, some of the best players I've ever seen.
A lot of people are culpable here. You're right. You're 100% right. And I think the we're going to see a shift in Hall of Fame voting. And maybe that's just a sign of kind of where sports are right now. And with the Baseball Writers Association getting, so they changed it in the sense that you have to be an active member for 10 years to vote. But then once you've been out as an act, and you haven't been active as a member of the media covering baseball for 10 years, then you don't have your vote anymore, which is a great thing because you have a lot of these. And I hate to say, like, oh, we got to get rid of the older guys. Like, that's not what it's about. But there is a shift in terms of coverage and thinking and all of these things. And that's just what it is. Just because you covered the sport for, say, 10 years and you were able to vote, I don't think that you should be able to vote for the rest of your life. You know, that's not how it works in most other careers. So
except
I like
for Congress. It works for Congress.
Yes. Again, government here. Let's not get into that conversation. But to me, I've always had an issue in terms of the PED scandal in baseball because of the culpability of everyone that was involved, and it was on a broad scale. And so when you look at things, and I'm not an expert on this, so I'm really torn, and I'm going to ask you guys this question. I understand that these guys were taking, you know, performance enhancing drugs. I just don't understand, because I'm not a scientist, how it made Barry Bonds so much better of a player, because the one thing that he was better at than anybody else, the hand-eye coordination that it takes to be able to hit a ball with the frequency that he did. Now, how far it goes is a different thing, but I just don't know how much it affects the type of player you were.
Well, we'll discuss that. Text Nation is weighing in here at 44-1140. We'll read some of those, and we'll come back with more of The Drive next. 6:47, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com, a very good morning to you. Welcome to The Drive. I'm Damian Barling, joined by Jason Ross. Katie Christensen's in Portland right now. Dave and Nate are off. Jerry Reynolds is in Portland. He's going to join us at 7:40. Perhaps he'll be in his bathrobe as well. Greg Papa, no word yet on if he's wearing a bathrobe or pajama pants, but he'll be with us.
I'm sure he is. You know, he seems like that kind of guy, like just the, you know, chill out to the max. And
does he really? You know, I feel like Greg Papa's probably been up since like 4. Like his day is half over.
Do you guys ever have him on the midday show at all?
We don't. Because his show goes on at the same time ours does.
Oh, yes. So, well, this is going to be a fun experience for you guys, because he's a riot, man. He'll get off. He'll start the show. He'll start his interviews half the time with the most random, you know, basketball musings and talking crap about the Kings and DeMarcus Cousins if he wants to. He shared with us that he was having some back pain troubles and he took some pills before a Raiders game. And that might be the funniest story that I've ever heard in my life. Basically, Greg Papa saying that he was lit for one of the games because he's having such back pain.
Well, who hasn't been? Yeah. I mean, he popped open. He
Most
popped
people
open.
Don't admit it, though.
There's a lot of losses for a decade or so for him.
He popped open the recreation bottle the pain relief bottle. So that's that gives you something. That's a hell of a tease, folks.
Yes.
As they say in the radio business. That's 8 o'clock. Greg Papa will be with us. If you missed Inside the NFL last night, Derek Carr was mic'd up for that game against the Colts last week. You got to hear that. Not only his reaction, because his reaction has been speculated on. It was like, it looked like he's mouthing, it's broken. That's what he said. He said it very clear, and you could just hear the sound. It's just so hard not to feel for him. But the exchange that he had with Matt McGloin, very cool. We got that coming up. Lots of NBA to dig into. Want to wrap up the conversation we were having. We got a little bit of response here on the text line on Twitter. And Katie posed this question about the Hall of Fame voting and PEDs, and what do PEDs really do for baseball players? I think one thing is when you take the Barry Bonds guys out of it, and you take the Roger Clemens, and you take those guys who went from, I mean, I'd argue Barry Bonds was already an elite,
absolutely,
perhaps. I mean, I'd make the argument Barry Bonds was the best baseball player I saw before he started taking steroids. But for marginal guys who are hitting singles and groundouts, and they're suddenly hitting home runs and doubles, that's where it changed. Mm-hmm. Like, I never saw Sammy Sosa's much of anything. And then he just started hitting home runs at a very rapid pace.
Yeah, just crazy, crazy numbers. You're right on about Bonds, because the people that want to – I mean, he was a guy that wasn't super popular, was disliked amongst the media. But, you know, when Katie asked the question about how do you quantify, and it's a great question. There's no way to know how much it affects these guys. But when Bonds is – I think the year he hit 370, where – his plate discipline, as far as he's only swinging at pitches that he can hit, and they're right down the middle, and he's finding the right pitches, and just that's still a gift that I think you could just throw the steroids part out of the equation there.
Didn't Barry Anderson hit like 50 home runs in a season once?
Yeah, out of nowhere, a leadoff hitter.
Wait, what?
What? A leadoff hitter. That's fantastic. Well, obviously the PEDs have had a huge effect on the game, but when you look at, and the question with Selig getting into the Hall of Fame, you guys, how much of this is the fault of Major League Baseball? I mean, how much do you punish the players for something that, yeah, they partook in it, but also you can't tell me that Major League Baseball didn't really discourage it.
Yeah, the year that Sosa and McGuire are going for the home runs, whatever game the National ESPN would have on, if it's Milwaukee and the Reds, they would go live looking on Mark McGuire's at bat, live looking on Sammy Sosa's at bat. They were celebrating that. Major League Baseball was celebrating that.
They ate it up.
Yeah, and even at the time, it technically was some of the things that they were using weren't even illegal in the sport.
Right.
And now we're banning them forever because of that.
There are things that those guys used to take that were available over the counter aren't even available like over the counter anymore. Mm-hmm. The stuff that wasn't illegal at all suddenly got ripped off the shelves after that. We did a really long segment, Katie, one day in the summer about what would have happened.
Oh, those summer days.
Yeah, we broke down what would have happened if that home run chase hadn't happened. And the numbers that show how Major League Baseball supported that home run chase and how it really turned the post-strike era of Major League Baseball around is really astonishing. So to use all of that to just back up your point right there, how much is Major League Baseball culpable for it? They're very, and I would argue even more so than the players, because – It's essentially, it's like when you watch professional wrestling. Like, Vince McMahon knows a lot of his guys are on stuff, but you just put your head down and you move forward with it. That's what Major League Baseball was doing. They just put their head down and they moved forward with it because it was helping them.
I thought you were going to say that it's just like professional wrestling where it's all fake and we know it.
Well, I don't think baseball's fake. No.
The kind of outrage over PED use. It was fake coming from the league. Like, they didn't care.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're right in that sense for sure. Mm. Phony outrage.
Yes.
There was no phony outrage last night though with the Rockets and the Mavericks. They were ready to throw down. Here is James Harden after last night's game. The Rockets continue to roll, and I don't want to bury that story because they've been playing really well, but that was a testy game last night with the Mavericks.
Yeah, it was strange, too. You hear Harden saying that after the game. I saw some quotes from Patrick Beverley basically calling out Rick Carlisle. Yeah. I'm like, wow, calling out the coach. It's just, when players go at each other, that happens. That's not that abnormal, but to say something about the other coach was a little strange.
Okay, what was he calling Carlisle out for, though? Like, I didn't get to see any of that. That's the great thing about hotels is that you don't have access to that stuff.
Yeah, something along the lines, hey, you want to be an icon, you know, just be a coach or something like, you know.
It felt like from some of the things Trevor Ariza was saying after the game that perhaps Rick Carlisle was encouraging the physical, because, of you know, as it normally is in basketball, it was the physical style of play that – garnered a reaction from the Houston Rockets. And I think at some point Trevor Ariza was mouthing at Rick Carlisle like, hey, calm your guys down. And obviously he didn't. And I think Carlisle got a technical in there. Ariza got a technical. Then Ariza got thrown out. Then someone said something about someone's family and they were ready to go blows in the back.
It was Ariza's family, and it was Jason, do you know how to pronounce his name? I'm blanking right now. It's the big that's filling in for Dirk.
Salah Mejri.
Mejri. And so apparently he said something about Ariza's family. And you know, you guys, it's very easy. We don't even have to know what was said in situations like this. If something gets this intense in an NBA game, somebody said something about someone's family. It's always that. That's always what happens.
Yeah.
I'm looking at just something that comes in right now. It says Mejri made derogatory comments about Ariza's family. Three teammates waited with Ariza by locker room.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was an ugly one. And it all started shockingly to no one. Andrew Bogut set a brutal screen and knocked the beard off James Harden. That started a whole lot of back and forth between the two teams. And
when do they play again?
They don't.
Oh, that was it?
That was it.
What?
That was it.
How have they already played four times?
That's
crazy.
It.
Oh.
Yep.
That's why Dallas has so many losses.
Yeah. They do. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
And again.
And they're bad.
Yeah, they're
too. Well, Dirk is back. The artist formerly known as Dirk.
A version of him.
A big German plays on the Dallas Mavericks. We can confirm that. But don't want to take away from the fact that the Rockets won again. They continue to play really well. Oklahoma City won again last night. Celtics rolled. Kings, Blazers tonight. We'll talk much more about that in the coming 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk Derek Carr, the Oakland Raiders. We got four down territory. All coming up as The Drive continues next.